So that's the
All right, cool. I'll see you guys later.
Ryan can close out for the rest of the show.
Welcome to Beer Field. I am your host, Chris Hopper, at Beer Field Hop with two P's on X, joined by at Beer Field Theory, at Ryan Minor underscore FFB. This is episode 455 or 456 of the Beer Field Fantasy Football or Not Fantasy Football podcast. My numbering schemes were different between audio and YouTube, so I just went with the higher one.
Love it.
Because we're driving to 500. So
love it. Yep. Nope. That's good for me.
Yep.
Me too.
I thought Ryan was going to say something like try to correct me on the numbering. And I was,
no, I'm looking at it. No, trust me, I'm looking at it right now.
Boy, don't. No, I think
456.
Well, because it's 456, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. But
455.5.
No, 456. I'm actually at one point going to go back and see where all I doubled up numbers and do a correction at some point, I think, too. Because I guarantee you I've done it somewhere in over the course of the last, since 2017. Guarantee you I've done it.
Now come to find out we end sooner than you think. You're like, oh shit, we only have like rest of the season left and we're actually done.
Well, I was doing the math in the car the
they
other
won't
day.
Know.
I was doing the math in the car the other day, like, I wonder if I do have 40 episodes worth of doubled up content. And I'm like, probably not.
No, but if anything, it's probably like two or three.
Well, yeah. I mean, I might get an extra five out of it at best, but still. Anyway, that's not the key. Well, we got a show, week 7. Thursday night football check in right now. By the way, Jaguars are beating the Saints. It is 14-3.
That's correct.
14-3. Travis Etienne has both Jags touchdowns. Trevor Lawrence is playing and running, it would appear.
He is running sometimes.
Christian Kirk leads the Jags in receiving. And yeah, not a lot going on for the Saints right now. So anything interesting happens, we'll keep you updated. Other than that, we got a bunch of news to get into, some low ball trades, good amount of injuries. We're going to talk some fantasy trades, and then we're going to go ahead and get into a couple different things in our recap segment, which has become more of a strategy or whatever we want to talk about segment. Dan's got some stat adjustments to talk about. He learned a little bit about how Sleeper actually does that, what they do and don't show. We'll talk trade etiquette because there is a conversation on that popped up in one of my leagues and we haven't done that yet this year. And then we're talking injury handling, given kind of the rash of injuries that have come through along with bye weeks, and talk some strategy around how to handle injuries and questionable tags to major players or normally starting players. And, you know, what you can do about that. Just some of what I ran into setting my lineups. Really, we'll do a quick preview, before we do all that though, we're drinking. So let's talk about that. Yeah.
What's fueling Beer Field?
All right, whoever wants to start.
Okay,
I'll start because I have a shitty beer because I suck because I don't have time this week to grab anything. So I grabbed what was in my fridge.
What's your shitty beer, Ryan?
I have Centennial Founder Centennial IPA.
I mean, it could be worse. It could be
worse.
I know. I mean, it's the beer I've had on here many times, so it's like nothing new. It's just simple, basic.
Have you had Centennial? I don't know if you've had Founders a bunch. I don't know if you've had Centennial. I mean, it's pretty obvious what the beer is, but I don't know if you've had that on.
Really?
Because I don't think you have. You've had everything else from Founders that's IPA related, but.
All right. Well, never mind. It's not a shitty beer. I take back everything I said previously. Delete that. And it's a
single old hop IPA, and the hop is Centennial.
Yes.
I am.
Thanks for the beer review.
Yeah. I mean, it's a preview still. I am drinking. Not only is it Kansas City's first black-owned brewery, it's actually Missouri's only black-owned brewery. So this is called Vine Street out of Kansas City, Missouri. Been super pumped. I finally got able to get down to their spot when I was there last week, and they just started doing packaging like 2 or 3 weeks ago. So not a lot of packaging, but again, you know, Hop and I have talked about this. It's very important to me to find breweries that's just not what you, your staple.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to support minority owned and in female owned breweries is important to me. Same thing even with distilleries, just to help support
exactly
a part of the community that is still, that I wish was growing and needs to be supportive, because just having more hands in this is just better for all. So I'm drinking their Maris, which is their APA. I didn't see the hop billing. I didn't see it on their website. I didn't see it on when I was at the brewery themselves. I tried to talk to the brewers, but they were busy with an event coming up, so I didn't want to bother them. But more on my thoughts later.
All right. And for me, I am drinking Lefty's Lager from Excel Bottling Company. So Excel Bottling Company also does ski soda. Beer has kind of been an interesting thing for them. They started doing beer in 2012. The bottling company has been around for a while, but they invested in beer in 2012. Had some brewer changes and things like that. We haven't had Excel on the show, I want to say, since 2017 when we did Flashbang.
So fun fact, that was you remember when we first started the podcast,
mm-hmm.
and we told you that there was an event going on in Hy-Vee in Springfield. It was like a beer night, and we were trying to go and meet people.
It was these guys.
It was Excel.
And they've had, I think they started off doing well, and then they stopped packaging for a while, and their original brewer left, went somewhere else, and he is now, as I understand it, back with them. So it was their Flashbang.
Unfortunately, the wholesaler for XL up here is folded, so
yeah,
well, we will see if we will continue to see them in Springfield.
A little bit interesting story. They're more known for soda. Again, they do ski, if you've heard of that or had that. Their Lefty's Lager is their Munich style Helles. They do actually put the grain bill online as well as the hops. So Hallertau Mittelfrüh hops, which is just kind of a traditional German noble hop. And then for malts, it's Pilsner Munich, which is pretty traditional, and then Melanoidin malt, which is interesting because you normally use a mashing process in a traditional style to get your melanoidins out of it. Melanoidin malt is a way to kind of get those melanoidin qualities without having to go through that process. But you know, for those that don't know what melanoidins are, it's kind of a rich, like sweet and body enhancing type of enzymes and proteins. I'm not sciencey, but that's the idea behind them, is they're supposed to enhance your body and your richness of your malt character. So really interesting to see them using malt instead, the melanoidin malt instead of in addition to, I don't know, because they don't go into the mashing process. But in any event, full review on this about halfway through the show. All right.
You ready for
that? All right.
All right, Greg Dulcich came back and immediately re-injured himself, so he's likely going to miss this week. Justin Fields left last week's game, so a lot of injuries last week. Nothing season-ending, nothing really significant, but definitely things that are going to cost guys weeks to multiple weeks. Justin Fields is going to avoid thumb surgery after dislocating his thumb. He is likely to miss this week. Really going to come down to when he can grip a football again. Tyson Bagent, the undrafted rookie, is going to start. He'll be backed up by Nathan Peterman and Trace McSorley. So he is also starting against the Raiders' backup quarterback, because Aiden O'Connell, because Jimmy Garoppolo won't play. So backup quarterback versus backup quarterback in that one. Bagent, UDFA, liked his talent, came in last week, and, you know, offense had a little bit of life, but kind of garbage timey. So, yeah.
It was, like, he made a couple nice throws. Sack fumble hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then threw the pick. It was, about as you expect from a
undrafted rookie in his first real action.
Yeah, pretty much anybody that's not a first-round rookie pick to come in, first-round quarterback pick to come in and play their first game when they weren't expecting to start or play.
Indeed. Anything, Ryan?
No, makes sense. Nothing to add to it.
Okay. Christian McCaffrey plays on Monday night, open the week, as I did not practice. You'll pay attention to that. They play on Monday, so this is their first practice of the week. CMC normally doesn't participate in the first practice, so really what you're watching for is Friday, Saturday practices with him to see what his status and state is. Kind of the same thing with Debo as well. Neither injury was expected to be serious. Debo with the shoulder, CMC with an oblique. But, yeah, they do play Monday night, so you're going to have to plan for that.
Jordan Mason.
And hopefully, you know, more before you get to Sunday.
Seriously.
Just
Go ahead.
I doubt he's available because I'm sure he's one of the I don't know if he's the highest priority, but he's pretty up there. But yeah, go handcuff McCaffrey potentially with Mason, who filled in nicely when McCaffrey officially left the game.
He and Zach Evans come back.
He filled in because Mitchell was so like hurt. He wasn't like they wanted Mitchell to kind of get a little bit of back of game speed underneath his legs because he only practiced on Friday. He didn't practice.
I mean, you can play him too. Yeah, you could. I mean, it's San Francisco, it's Minnesota.
Yeah,
they're pissed off. They lost the Browns. Brock Purdy looked like dog shit.
It was a bad Moody kick too.
Browns have a really good Moody defense, though.
They have an historically good defense. I learned watching New Heights.
I did too. All right now.
All right now.
All right now.
Yeah, they do. Best Browns defense since the 60s, I think, was the stat.
Was it just the? I thought it was overall defense. The least amount of yards given up in the first five games since like
it's LeBron's stat. Yeah,
since the 60s, LeBron stat. Ah, all right now.
Under 1,000 yards allowed though, which is pretty good through 6 weeks.
Pretty good, yeah.
That's insane. Pretty
incredible. Pretty good.
Yep. Eagles signed Julio Jones to a 1-year deal. Quez Watkins is dealing with injuries, so they really needed. We're looking for some depth there. And
is it really depth, or is this going to be a resurgence again?
Chasing the ring,
right?
Chasing a ring. This feels like Melvin Gordon going to the Chiefs. Do you guys remember Melvin Gordon, practice squad Chiefs last year?
Yeah.
A ring for the Chiefs.
Julio Jones is not relevant unless something happens to A.J. Brown or Devonta Smith.
And even then, we'll see how long he's on the team for.
I bet they'll be around for the rest of the year, but how much work he gets is a different story.
But you're right though. They are in need of a number three.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll play the inside. He'll play the Anquan Boldin possession slot receiver role.
Yeah. Could be.
If
he's got anything left, that's a good team to go to.
It's a great spot for him.
Need something.
Yep. Kyren Williams will miss this week with an ankle injury. He's considered week to week, was on a scooter with in a cast like substance though around his ankle. So a bunch of roster moves followed that for the Rams. Royce Freeman elevated from the practice squad. Miles Gaskin signed away from the Vikings practice squad to the Rams active roster. Daryl Henderson signed to the Rams practice squad. So everybody but Gaskin is a familiar face to that offense. Zach Evans is likely going to get the first crack at this, but I would imagine that at least the guys that are familiar with the offense, So would that be Freeman right now? Because Ronnie Rivers is also hurt, non-IR. So it'd be Freeman right now behind Zach Evans. They're probably going to get looks this week. Gaskin maybe a little bit as he comes up to speed. But, yeah, keep an eye on this over the next couple of weeks. And keep an eye on this week to see, you know, what you're going to end up with.
I feel like it's going to be Daryl Henderson week. Like, it just feels like that feeling. Like, we're all like all over Sam McCarter last week.
He's not even in the active roster right now, though.
I thought they just promoted him up today.
I did not see that looking through the news today.
I know Royce Freeman's on the active one, but I thought they also put Henderson up there, too.
Freeman and Gaskin are.
He's been a part of McVay's doghouse. They get Pittsburgh, you know, notoriously known to be a good run defense, especially running against just running games in general. Well, one of the better matchups you can get from what we've seen this year so far. Rams offense has looked not quite like the 2020 South when they made it to the Super Bowl, or 2021 South when they made it to the Super Bowl and won, but there might be something there. I don't think it's going to be Henderson. I wouldn't be surprised. But if Ryan said if he's active, then
he's been not on the active roster as of 1:45 this afternoon.
Okay.
And the ESPN article says he was signed but didn't specify.
All the Puka and all the Cup.
Yeah, I see him showing. Our lads is still showing him on the practice squad. Henderson.
Okay. Maybe Ryan's foreshadowing.
As of maybe the 1:45. As of 1:45 Central.
I got connections.
Ryan's got connections.
I know people who know people.
And he knows the offense, right? He very well could be elevated this week once Kyren's officially out.
It would honestly make sense.
More sense than Gaskin.
Yeah.
But they had to sign Gaskin to their active roster because he was already on the Vikings practice squad.
Yeah. It feels like one of these guys probably won't make it to the end of the week. And they'll elevate one potentially, but this is how quickly can you pick up where do we want you? And then, if not, then fuck off. Maybe next week.
And honestly, I like Zach Evans. I think him getting the first crack at this is a good call.
Smart.
We've all liked Zach Evans.
Yeah, we all like Zach Evans. He's a compact and explosive rookie.
It was funny because he was such a Debbie Darling.
Yeah.
He was John Robinson.
He was, absolutely was. TCU, right?
Yeah, started at TCU, then ended up at Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, that's right. He was, I also think he was a 5-star recruit, too. Yeah, he was, ran into some off-the-field troubles, I think team troubles with TCU before he got, fuck off all the hell. But my notes, the talent's there. The talent's absolutely there.
Yeah, my notes on Evans were he's an explosive between the tackle runner, wasn't asked too much in the receiving game. Showcases good burst and speed to the outside, good pad level, stiff arm is excellent. Very easy to land in a committee with plenty of upside to his game, especially if he can form any sort of receiving floor. So he's a between the tackles banger type of player that I think is going to fit that role nicely, and then expect Royce Freeman to get some receiving work.
Yep.
He was just stuck behind good running backs at TCU. He's stuck behind Kendre Miller and then Quinshon Judkins at Ole Miss.
Yeah. But end of the day, there was a lot to like there with him on his film in particular.
Yeah, opportunity is golden right now because running back sucked this week.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if he shows out whenever Kyren does get back, you know, you could end up in a committee approach there.
I wouldn't be surprised if Kyren comes back after the bye. Just hold him out till the bye.
And that's what I saw too, is that they have, so the Rams bye is week 10. So, you know, they could not put him on IR and just bring him back in week 11, which would make sense. If he progresses faster than that, then maybe week 9. I think week 8's out of the question if he's on a scooter and in a cast still. So, but I think after the bye is probably the most likely. I think you're right there.
And they already lost Ronnie River, so they're screwed on that point.
Yeah, he's at least 4 weeks there, so he wouldn't be eligible to come off until week 11. They just added him. And the bye week doesn't count as a missed game.
Nope.
So, Jamal Williams was activated from IR for tonight's game. We can give you a live update on this one on where that's going. He has 4 carries for 14 yards.
He looks like vintage Jamal Williams from Green Bay.
Yep. 3.5 average. Just on a worse team because the Saints can't move a football.
Dude, Kamara's got 7 catches on 8 targets in the first half.
I love that for me.
Olave's got, he's doing his best Gabe Davis impression. 2 catches on 7 targets.
17 yards.
It's a true Gabe Davis impression. We're going to get a 50-yard touchdown, though. At some point.
I mean, he dropped one. He dropped a couple easy ones, it looks like.
That's depressing for me.
Yeah.
And Christian Kirk, do you guys think Christian Kirk is the wide receiver one over Calvin Ridley?
Yes.
So do I.
Right. I think he's the 2A to his 2B.
Who's one?
I don't think there's true at ones. I think they're both twos.
Aren't they?
But yeah, it's technically ones on his team. Fine.
1A, 1B.
I call him 2A, 2B.
What are the stat lines?
Ridley's got no catches. Kurt's
season, not tonight.
Yeah.
I know what tonight's are.
I think they're pretty close still.
26 on 44, 363 and 2 for Ridley.
Kirk has more than that.
Kirk is 5 more targets, 120 more yards, same number of touchdowns.
Well, yeah, you had 4 more targets of that and 45 more yards, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's it's doing all right. They're both wide receiver threes with 2 upside.
Yep.
I like Kirk as a wide receiver too, but that's just me. I like to live life on the edge on this.
That's
one.
Why I call them both twos. They're 2A and 2B. That's the
fantasy
joke.
Twos.
They're fantasy threes.
You're a fantasy three.
Thank you.
Welcome. Okay.
It's a compliment for Dan.
Yeah, I feel like I've earned that role. I'm going to go sign on the Bears now and be their number 2.
It's actually him rating your appearance out of 10.
Oh, that is so true. I am a wide receiver 3 out of 10.
Deebo Samuel missed practice on Thursday. We already talked about this. He left with a shoulder injury, I think.
Ayuk week.
He plays Monday night. Ayuk week, potentially. Which most receiving work is an Ayuk week at this point. Ray McCloud actually got more work than Juwan Jennings. Should he not play? Just a heads up there. Juwan Jennings' snap count stayed relatively even. It was Ray McCloud that took over for Deebo when he went out.
Yeah.
So just a little depth chart note there. If you're the Deebo manager holding out hope he plays and you need an emergency stash, we'll talk more about that strategy later. Jimmy G is going to miss the Raiders week 7 game against the Bears. Talked about that already. Terrace Marshall has been given permission to seek a trade as we approach the deadline. He's been getting some volume in Carolina, hasn't really done anything with it. So
that's the trade bait volume. I jokingly saw somebody said, why don't you pair him back up with Cincinnati? You can trade Marshall plus for T. Higgins. I'm like, how much plus do you have to add to Marshall to get T. Higgins?
Send him to Denver.
All of it.
Send him to Denver. Yeah, all of it.
That's true.
Send
him in a package to Denver for Jerry Jeudy.
Yep. Done. Send it.
Higgins, it feels like the, how much do you want to pay up?
Amounts. Well,
you want to pay up more for Higgins or you want to pay less for Jeudy?
Right. Well, and quite honestly,
I guess it obviously depends on.
I mean, Jeudy was a 900 yard receiver last year. I don't want to shit on that too hard.
No. But his whole career has been marred with injury and kind of not living up too much to his hype, but it's been hurt a lot.
Damn it. West.
It probably costs. Higgins is probably a day 2 pick.
Yeah.
Judy's probably a couple day 3s. Be my guess. Maybe day 2. Maybe.
That'll be interesting because I think they can probably find a partner for Marshall. But they could package with some things if that's what they want to do. Or it could be another move like we've seen with guys like Chase Claypool, Mecole Hardman, where it's just a swap of late round picks and here's a player.
I mean, that's probably what's going to happen.
It's probably more likely.
It's probably like Marshall and a 6 for a 5th or a 4th. One of those two. That feels like the most common. Oh, fake punt. Fake punt. And they got it.
Did it work?
They got it.
Give me a Trevor Lawrence touchdown pass here, please. Thank you.
Nope. ETN run.
I bet well, the no, under.
Just pass it. He can pass it to ETN.
I bet that. The under. So just a field goal.
let's do that. I want the ETN run. ETN reception.
Let's not dumb this is. So in one of my leagues, I'm in. It's a 10-team league, and it's got a weird line setup. So you can only start one running back, and my running backs were all like bad right now. The only one I had was like Swift. That's actually good. I'm like, man, I'm gonna go see what's on the waiver wire. So last week, I see Travis Etienne there on the waiver wire. I'm like, what? You gotta be kidding me. Yeah. So I added him up right away and put him in my starting lineup, and I dominated by 40 points last week.
Is this a 10-team league?
Yeah, it's like you start a quarterback, a running back, two wide receiver, tight end, and then it's IDP too with special teams.
So there's
teams.
No flex?
No.
That's probably why it was on waivers.
That's why it's on waivers.
Why keep a lot of running backs
But even then,
like, he's a top 10 back. He should be on a team.
It's, right? With all the injuries, oh, man.
So I added him. I was like, someone had to, like, misdrop him. I'm going to wait for them to say, like, hey, I accidentally dropped and I didn't see that. Can
fuck you.
Like,
you should have caught it sooner, bud.
Yeah.
Misdropping. Sorry. Waivers ran 2 days ago.
Thanks for the easy 30 points. And where am I at now?
Fuck.
I think I'm at over 20 points already. So, you know, it's been a good day.
It's doing pretty good.
And it's got me first place in the division. So I can't complain. I went from last to first.
All right. Kyler Murray had his window for return to open practice on Thursday. Right now, the report is that he's not going to play this week. We'll return in week 8. So,
this is great news
that he's not playing this week, or that he's coming back.
I'm pumped.
I'm pumped,
dude. Arizona's played. They're decent. Like, they're the new Lions, right? The head coach.
They're
did
exciting.
Something weird. The head coach does something and said something weird. People are like, I don't know, man. And then they're
look
just competitive in their losses.
Look at Marquise Brown right now. I mean, he's
they could probably trade. They could probably trade Josh Jobs and get like a 5th round pick for him, a 4th round pick. Intercepted. Oh, good for the under.
Damn it.
Lattimore on a breaking route, on a outside breaking route. Oh, but that was that's not a decision. Why are you throwing that route to? Why are you having Jamal Agnew run that route?
Because it's Jamal Agnew.
Because it's Jamal Agnew.
And you're like, let's go after Lattimore. We have Kurt, Ingram, and Ridley.
Speaking of which, you saying Kurt just made me remember something. You've been
Did he catch that? He may not have caught it. Sorry, go ahead.
Lattimore. I hope he didn't catch it.
It's going to be cool. So he landed, and the ball looked like there was movement after he landed because he dove and caught it. I don't know if that's a catch. But anyways, I reminded you of something with Kurt.
Yeah, because it sounds like you're saying Kurt, not Kirk. And I really think that we should mention that you've been liberated.
Damn, mispronouncing names is it's very common in the show.
Apparently, because Dan, one of Dan's most common mispronunciations is Adam Schefter. He adds in an N.
I do.
And
I blame it on the speech impediment.
Forever called him Adam Schefter on this show. And Trav did it on New Heights. So Trav dropped
it. Are you
in
saying,
Adam Schefter,
Hopper, that me and your boy Travis Kelce are the same? We are the same. You can't take it back. Same level.
He stole from you, Dan. He stole from you.
Me and Travis.
He probably listens.
You know what he probably does. I'm waiting for the beautiful shout out.
Me too.
We need to have it. So who's the Jason here?
Who's the Jason?
Let me talk about one of our sponsors here right now.
We don't have sponsors.
They feel like they do their sponsors shit live, and it's great. It's like they're just like us, except
they have
one
sponsors.
One of them's dating Taylor Swift, and they're the highest growing podcast,
best podcast in the world, and
it is great
overall. Not even sports, overall.
Just overall,
yeah, overall.
Like, people just it's such a oh god. I could listen
Jason
to Travis
about
talk
it.
About anything.
I can listen to Jason talk about it. I mean, it's just he.
I mean,
those two crack
Travis
me up.
Just makes me. All right now.
All right now.
All right now.
They're talking about time. Cedar Point now. In Monday's episode, I was like, man, I love Cedar Point.
So they ruled it incomplete. They're going for a field goal.
Oh, hell yeah. Damn Thank it. You.
Another fake.
It's the end of the half.
David Montgomery's going to miss time with a rib injury. Jahmyr Gibbs is trending toward playing. So,
and Craig Reynolds is looking like he's not going to play. He also had a did not practice today.
Yep. Montgomery,
the fuck are they doing over there?
The injury is not expected to be serious, though. So another one of those where, you know, you're on week-to-week watch, essentially.
Yeah, they said he's going to miss some time, in quotes. So I was like, oh, he'll be out there in the third quarter because that's just some time.
What did it end up being? Was it cartilage?
Ribs?
Well, I know it's ribs, but did he break one? Is it a cartilage injury? Like, what did he do? Ribs, a lot of times, like, is pain management.
I don't know. Oh, good times.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine.
Deontay Johnson.
I tried to find everything I could.
Deontay Johnson returned to practice, opening his 3-week window to return from IR. Jets traded Mecole Hardman to the Chiefs.
Beautiful.
Yep. Time is a flat circle. Deshaun Watson back at practice. He's apparently dealing with a rotator cuff strain despite the MRI showing no damage. Earlier this week, he said he wasn't going to play until he felt that he could help the team. But apparently now he's back in practice. So the whole thing's just weird.
None of it makes sense. None of it makes sense.
Some good massage work done.
Somebody.
Speaking of shoulders, Anthony Richardson is going to miss the rest of the season after undergoing shoulder surgery. So Gardner Minshew the rest of the way for the Colts.
That's so sad.
I've had people ask too, like, you know, what's this mean for JT? And it's like Gardner Minshew helps JT out. Yeah.
It means Zach Moss is going to continue to take work, apparently.
Zach Moss is the RB1.
That too. But
it feels like it. It honestly does. I have a dynasty league in which I'm playing both Zach Moss and JT.
I hate that Zach Moss is actually having success.
It just shows how good the Indy offensive line is. I'm just like, can JT just get fully fucking healthy, please? Just, for the love of God, get fully healthy.
And Moss is number 2 rusher in the NFL right now.
Yeah, it's just get fucking healthy. It's all I care.
I can't say that in a straight face, no matter how hard I try.
What, that Zach Moss is the number 2?
In rushing, yeah. It's just like,
we tell people every single year, the volatility of the running back position, and every year it's the same shock that this type of shit happens. That's why I don't draft running backs early anymore. Unless you're McCaffrey, I feel like. And then Bijan next year.
Another report that the Patriots are seriously considering moving on from Belichick, that Kraft isn't happy, and here's the fans' anger and believes a change needs to be made.
I mean, yeah. Stop holding on to the past. Like, he hasn't looked good since.
You gave him the opportunity to do something without Brady. It's time to move.
Yeah.
Yeah, it ain't working.
Unless they can coerce Brady to come out of retirement, but why would Brady come out of retirement to play in the AFC? Like,
no,
he's been the opposite of Rodgers in like in every case.
Yeah,
like, I don't want to play against the AFC. You kidding me? Fuck that.
Yeah, that shit's hard.
I left the AFC for a reason, guys. Like,
right?
I'm going back. I'm going to San Francisco when Brock Purdy gets hurt. That's live look of Tom Brady in his living room.
Yeah. The Anthony Richardson news, though, as we just mentioned, is better news for the running backs because you don't have him taking rushing work, goal line work. It also is probably better for the wide receivers because Minshew is a better passer at this stage.
Now, I wonder if Anthony Richardson, like, this is going to be something we'll see more with him being this injured. Like, you know, we see the upside of him, but he takes those hits like Lamar Jackson, but harder because he's such a big body guy.
If their coaching staff, this is falls on the staff, they can get him to protect his body more. That's then he becomes like any other mobile quarterback. You're right in the fact that he's big enough to be able to absorb a lot of those hits, so he feels like he can take everything on. You just got to teach it out of him. You just got to coach it out of him. Like, you need to slide or duck out more.
Yep.
And that's less design runs and just more time, just more snap. It just sucks because he didn't take a lot of snaps in college, and that's a big thing for him. He just needs more reps. And, you know, to lose that this year, it's rough in a hyper-competitive division and conference. It's not good, but Colts could be in line to add another top draft pick, and
they got a good backup too. So
yeah, they got which remain competitive with Minshew, you know, are about as competitive as he can be because he looked pretty bad last week.
Yeah. As competitive as they're going to be, they're just going to tailor the game plan to him, though. It's a completely different way to run the offense with him versus Richardson.
Yeah, it does neuter it a bit, but we'll see if, you know, if they're going to run more, you know, they'll see more stack boxes. It's the one thing, you know, that a, you know, quarterback like Richardson can give to you is it opens up the running game. As you saw in Chicago last year with, you know, Fields and Herbert or Fields and Montgomery, it was a hyper efficiency. Baltimore with Lamar Jackson in his early career, it's a hyper efficient. It's just, we'll see.
And according to takeathon.com, Indianapolis has the 15th overall pick.
Yeah.
As Chicago has the 1 and number 2 pick.
Keep it that way. Lose to the Raiders. Let's go.
I mean, after the video of Caleb Williams and his response to the Notre Dame game, he might lose that first. There's a video of him answering a question that everyone's up in arms about because he sounds like a cocky asshole. I'm like, cool.
Good. That's what you need. You need that.
You're going to tank his stock. I'm like, all right, guys. He goes, I don't want this guy. It sounds like an ad. So I'm like, quarterback, that's a good thing for me.
Team figured out the Bears are up there, and they're like, oh, these guys are idiots. Let's tank it.
Let's shot pitcher. Hold on. We got to have a bad game first.
let's tank his stock right now.
Oh, hold up, guys. We don't want him to go to Chicago.
But, by the way, that old Caleb Williams thing, like, you'll learn, like, people that are cocky come out of the NFL, right? That's coachable. And he had a bad game. He acted like Rodgers, Brady, Breeze, Manning. So these guys never had bad games.
It happens. Even Golden Boy Mahomes, Josh Allen is riddled with them.
Yep.
It happens, guys.
It's not the end of the world because he had one bad game. It's when it's a trend over the back part of the college football season that you got a problem.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at Takeathon here. And remember like when Houston traded up for the 3rd overall pick and we're like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Because it's like you're gonna give Arizona now like
I'm still gonna say that. It was still a pretty aggressive move, but I'm glad they're doing well.
So that Houston pick now is pick 13, but I didn't realize Houston also has Cleveland's pick, which is 21. So it's like I almost want Cleveland just to tank just so way Houston gets a better pick too for that.
I don't know how I feel about either team.
So. I want it to flip flop. I hate Cleveland.
I hate both of them. That like I root for their players in Houston because the ownership is so shitty.
I like D'Amico Ryan's too.
It's not the coaching staff or the players. Literally just ownership.
Literally. Aaron Foster, man. Aaron Foster got me into Houston.
JJ Watt.
Andre Johnson, Dan. JJ Watt. DeAndre Hopkins, man. My first ever true draft crush.
Yes, sir. Oh. All right, back to the news. NFL
stuff now.
NFL signed Roger Goodell to a contract extension through 2027.
We get to boo him for 3 more years.
Yay.
Actually, I have something for that. Hold, please.
Can you find it?
Oh, yeah, I can find it quick. I know exactly where it is.
Okay.
Oh, you got to boo him like he's Goodell.
Everyone, it's a guest appearance of Nick.
Guess
Nick,
appearance.
How can you be doing trivia and on the podcast? That's incredible.
No idea. That is pretty.
And now he's gone. What a dick.
Pretty. What do you mean?
He'll be back, right, for episode 500. He has to come back in the last one.
Dude, I'm totally having him come back for 500.
Like
he has no fucking choice in this matter. I mean, he's coming back for the final episode. Player,
I think Drake would be the one I'd take a shot at.
No, like, are you stuck in?
Nick, you got to leave 2018, bud.
Nick, you got to get out of 2018.
I mean, come on, man. We're in 2023, about to be 24. You know, it's time.
Devin walks with a limp funchus.
Come on, man. He's not even.
Buddy,
in the
he's
NFL
not even
anymore.
In the NFL. Mm-hmm. I know he's become a tight end, but that's kind of rude.
Yeah, a little. I can't.
I hope he turns into this show. Normally, he jumps on for a little bit.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
Love cherries.
All right, back.
Okay, okay. All right, Nick.
You're completely off the rails.
You got off the rails. We make fun of us so much. All right, we'll see you later, Nick. Bye.
See you later. Bye. Anyway, that was. I don't know. That was oddball. He's just showing up out of nowhere.
And I am at Nick Spartz.
Yeah, great. Leave already.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Leave already.
Green Bay signed James Robinson to their practice squad. There, Jed's banged up. Just a little thing to know. He's coming off an Achilles injury 2 years ago. And then Ryan Tannehill left week 7 with an ankle injury. He's considered week to week, also on a scooter, also in a gas-like thing, a lot like Kyron Williams. Titans are on bye this week. Injury is said to not require surgery. Watch him as they come into week 8 and might be Malik Willis. All right.
This feels like this might be the last time he's played his final snap at Tennessee. I don't know what it is. From the Henry rumor mills of potentially being traded. Like,
could be. Depends on how Willis does, like, and if they want to get a look at Levis.
This is the time to do it, but we'll see.
We'll see. All right. That is all for the news. Let's go and trade grades. I looked through all my leagues. There's only one trade that happened that we need to talk about. So I want to know your guys' thoughts on this trade I made. It's a 16-team super flex, 2 quarterback, 2 tight end listener
Jesus
league.
Jesus Christ.
So I signed and traded Sandro Platzkummer of the Austrian Football League for Josh Love of the USFL. Straight up.
Straight up. Super flex league.
I mean, just real quick, your thoughts on Platzkummer for Josh Love. Not Jordan Love, Josh Love.
I really wish I had a who button. Or bless you. We need a bless you soundbite.
Hey, I wonder if I can see his Austrian Football League stats. Hold on. Like, is this guy even good?
I mean, you traded him for an actual NFL quarterback in a Superflex league.
I traded him for a USFL quarterback.
I find it.
I stand corrected. It feels like you won that deal because who's more likely to play in the NFL at some point?
Maybe the Austrian Football League guy is a 2-time champion over there, man. He was on the Giants practice squad for a while.
You know what? We're gonna root for the guy. This show has now become what's his name again?
Sandro Platzkar.
Sandro Platzkar. We are now a Sandro Platzkar show.
Platzgummer.
Platzgummer.
I had no idea what it was, but I just started laughing at it when I first saw the trade. I'm like, who the hell are these players?
Well, we got to give Nick something to do as commissioner. So when he's not randomly showing up on the podcast, unannounced by.
Here we go. European Football League. He's the offensive player of the year for last year, apparently.
Already better than. Then Josh Love, I don't think he's ever won that before in his life.
Oh, no, that was so he plays for the Raiders.
Okay.
Raiders Tyrol. Let's see. Players? Is he still? Adrian Platzkummer. Is that a brother? Did he change
this makes
his
for
name?
Great. This makes for great content.
Yeah, they're like, people will be driving tomorrow morning and be like, what the fuck are these guys talking about right now?
If anybody likes the European Football League, that's
all 64 of our listeners, yes.
That's where we're at. There we go. Sandro Platzkummer. He's got a brother on this team, too.
We have 275 subscribers on YouTube.
There's no stats for him at all.
He's as good as I am then.
Never mind. I found the stats page. It doesn't show up on their player page. You got to go elsewhere. let's see.
So he's a rugby player?
No, European Football League.
European Football League.
Okay. So they're apparently in season right now for 2023.
Okay.
I think through 4 games, he's got 60 yards, 13 attempts.
Sounds pretty good. You know, he's outperforming outperforming other people right now.
He's likely outperforming some people right now. If you Google him, he is pretty yoked. But anyway.
I mean, anyways.
I mean, Superflex League, though, right? I got the better value getting the quarterback back, yeah?
You did. Like I said, who's more likely to
play in an NFL game?
Yeah.
It probably is Josh Love, honestly, because he did back up for the Rams for Well, he played on the practice. Anyway.
Anyways.
Anyway.
Anywho.
Beer review before we get to the second big part of the show.
Sure.
Yay.
Let's do it.
Beer review.
Okay. Somebody was campaigning for Winston?
Keith was. Or he said that Fitzpatrick was campaigning for Winston on the broadcast.
Well,
I mean, said that we all want Winston.
Everybody wants that.
And then, they're like, no, I'm like, fuck you. Don't we want fun.
I absolutely want to see
W's eaten,
ball thrown downfield.
Like, I don't care if it's on target. I want to see some fucking air yards in this game. Unleash the
LASIK dragon.
Fuck it. Olave's down there somewhere.
That's exactly what I want.
Fuck it.
I want nothing Marshall more.
Metamore's down there somewhere.
Yeah. I want nothing more than fuck it. Olave's down there somewhere.
Man. Yeah, that's how I like to play
football. It's so good for fantasy. The neutered Winston that we've gotten in New Orleans, no one wants that. It's awkward. It's not even fun. Let him eat the dubs. Let him eat the dubs.
Right.
Ryan, go ahead with your Centennial IPA from Founders.
So it's very, very delicious, actually. It's Centennial hops, like you said earlier in the episode. It's got a nice, strong, bitter taste to it. Comes in at 65 IBU, so it has a nice, I feel like, more aroma to it. Very hoppy. Very dry at the end, so it allows me to drink more because I'm actually almost done with my second one now since we started. So, yeah. And it comes in at 7.2%. Not a bad beer at all.
It is a true... Wait, it's Centennial West Coast hop, or is that in Michigan? Is that a Michigan-born hop? I don't remember.
I'll look. If you want to go like 2 years, I'll look it up.
Yeah. The Centennial hop itself, or are you talking about the...
Most American hops are either a Washington or either Pacific Northwest or Michigan.
Yeah. Very, very popular growing states. So again, as Hopper struggles with noises, I am drinking Vine Street Brewing, Missouri and Kansas City's only black-owned brewery. I'm drinking their Maris. This is their APA. Very tropical. I was thrown off by the coconut because that says nowhere that there's coconut in this beer. And I don't know what hops gives off coconut. But I will admit, the first taste I had, I was very concerned that it was spoiled.
HBC 472.
Okay.
No, seriously, HBC 472 gives off coconut.
I was very
there's another one too. Hold on.
I was very taken aback by it because I doing a lot of beer, you know, quality control study, you tend to pick up on the things that would give off.
Sabro is the other one.
Okay, Sabro would. Sabro probably makes more sense, but you know, a lot of breweries like to use like experimental or newer hops. So, generally, when you get coconuts, almost always the first thing you taste is very predominant in beer because it gives off a buttery ish type of feel.
Yeah, if it doesn't have body, it kind of diastole.
Yeah, and that's where the difference comes in because you still get the malt characteristics to it. It still has a bitter, earthy finish, or a slightly bitter, earthy finish. It's still a very overall juicy IPA with a lot of coconut undertones to it, but it does, you know, have a maltier finish to it as well. So it's very good. I've been very impressed with what I've had from them. And every time I get back to KC, I make it a trip, you know, I make sure to make it a trip down to see them.
All right, Dan. So are you a fan of coconut then or no?
I'm more so a fan of coconut and beer. I like it paired with more darker or more, just more heavier beers.
Okay.
But one of my brewery's biggest,
because I hate coconut. Like I hate.
So it's not gonna taste. It's not like you're eating a coconut.
No.
It's gonna give off very tropical, very kind of. Some people like to, which is not gonna probably help my cause for this. Some people like to point it out. It's almost like suntan lotion, because it just gives off.
Aroma smell.
Yeah, it gives off a slight buttery-ish, which is why some people will also make fun of it for tasting like popcorn. It's just it's a very predominant taste. Like it's one of the first things you taste in any beer that has
has coconut or uses hops that will give off hop, will give off a coconut aroma, you will most likely get that first. It's very powerful hop or there, you know, taste in beer.
Sounds good. Sounds better now, because like a lot of people be like, oh, you know, I'm not a fan of coconut, I don't want to try that. And me being not a fan of that, that's why I asked that question.
It's generally paired with other beer to kind of help soften it. You know, pineapple is a popular addition with it. Like I said, stouts or porters that use it, I'm fans of. You get, you know, a lot of the chocolate. I think it pairs really well with chocolate. So it's you don't see a lot of, you know, coconut only beers unless you're doing like a pina colada mix. Excuse me.
Yeah, I can't figure out if it's Sabro or not. I mean, you're probably right. It's probably Sabro.
I had a, like I said, the all the brewmasters were there, but they were doing stuff for the event that they were putting on that night, so I didn't want to bother. Obviously, I'm not going to bother them. I'm like, what's in this, guys?
Yeah, my guess would be
do your work. So their Oktoberfest was amazing too.
Question: do you get tropical with it, or do you get?
Yes.
Okay, so that's Sabro.
Yeah, there's a lot of
woody.
Yeah, there's a lot of grapefruit. There's a lot of stone. There's obviously stone fruit. So, but a lot of grapefruit. I get a little bit of orange and citrus to it, and then and then obviously coconut. Because one of the seals like most popular beers is a coconut based ale with a bunch of other fruits, but it's very coconut heavy. So, very very familiar with the taste.
Indeed. Okay, I was drinking Lefty's Lager from Excel. I will say, I read an article on this right before I got on, which is kind of a hit piece from a Jacksonville Journal Courier writer. Not really a hit piece, but just shitting on this beer. Like, well, it's just grainy and I don't smell anything and da-da-da. Well, come to find out, small-town newspaper journalists probably, I don't want to say all of them, but, and small-town newspaper journalists, no credentials that casually drink craft beer, probably don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Oh, I got a story for this. Yeah, but go ahead. You?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, same exact thing.
Same out guy, probably. Oh, out of Decatur?
No, Jacksonville. Out of Jacksonville.
Out of Jacksonville, same thing. Yeah. So this one, I do get aroma on the nose. We said he didn't get anything, but no aroma on the nose. It just fell flat. I completely disagree. I definitely get the floral, spicy notes of the Howtown Middle Fra. Maybe he was drinking it ice cold. Maybe he poured it into a frosted glass. I don't know. But I definitely get that. I definitely get the general impression of graininess. The hops do dominate the aroma of balance, which is not normally what you want. But both elements are there. It gives the impression of sweetness. It has a nice, like, sweet maltiness that greets you when you drink it. Followed up by a spicy floral and bitter notes from the hops that kind of hang out and bring you back to the beer. It finishes not dry, but not overly sweet. It's not under attenuated and everything. It's kind of what you'd expect from Munich Helles. The reason I said kind of, Phil, the notes are there. If I were grading this, it would probably be in the mid 30s out of 50. This should be a CP score for where you need some tweaks. I would say that if they're not double decocting this or decocting this at all and just relying on melanoidin malt, that shows. I don't know their process, but it does lack some of the fullness that I get out of like a Dovetail, which would be like king shit of this beer style for American versions. So, or even, you know, some of the things that like Schlafly and Urban Chestnut do in this region. This just isn't quite there from the richness or anything like that, but all the flavors are there. It's really easy drinking. It's very enjoyable. I would absolutely sit down and crush, you know, four of these and be happy about it. Really easy drinking. Nothing flat about it. Nothing harsh about it. He mentioned that it was too bitter. It, you know, it's maybe slightly bitter for the style, but it's damn sure not anywhere near bitterness or even a harsh bitterness like you get out of some IPAs or anything like that. So, you know, overall solid beer, much better than, you know, what I think we had from Excel several years ago, a different style, but it's kind of long-winded. I'll stop now. I want to hear your story. If it's the same thing or not.
So yeah, it's my owner, cause he likes, you know, obviously see what the community thinks of his beer, especially around the home markets. And he sent me a link of someone out in Jacksonville doing a review of our pickle beer.
Probably the same guy.
And it's just he's just scathing them. Like he's done reviews on the regular pickle, on one of our IPAs, I think one of the hazy IPA rotators that we do, and then spicy. And he's just like the first thing he tells me is just that it's very clear that this guy has no fucking clue how to actually
taste or sample beer,
like talk beer. That, like
that's exactly what I thought when I pulled. That's exactly what it's the same guy. I just pulled it up. The same guy.
Yeah.
He just graduated the University of Missouri since 2022. I'm assuming, doesn't brew, judge, and just casually, and has no familiarity with styles or how to perceive or anything like that. And he's just writing, no different than where we were when we started this. Like, don't get me wrong, but he's actually like putting shit out in print for an audience and doesn't know. Like, I'm with you. It's obvious to me. He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah. Yep.
So. Anyway, I don't expect much coming out of Jacksonville. It's Jacksonville. My wife's from there.
Yeah, I know.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, Illinois, not Florida.
Illinois, not Florida.
Yeah, just a completely
opposite. This is not a Jaguars tie-in.
Because I saw the Blake Bortles jersey, but I was like, oh, no, it makes sense, but never mind.
No,
she's from
Blake Bortles. Significantly worse Jacksonville.
Yeah, not the fun Jacksonville. All right, Dan, kick it to you. Let's talk about your stat adjustment adventure.
All right, so I am I'm at work, right? I'm seeing accounts, and I see pop up in my league chat. My matchup got stat corrected to a tie. Now in this league, this is a two decimal place tie. So very rare, very rare. And I'm like, fuck, that's crazy. Cause I won by 12 fucking points. This was a 12.1 stat correction.
What?
I've
never heard of that. Like,
it was fucking insane. So of course I go into the league history. I go into the league settings. I pop up stat corrections to see what's up. And I see the three players that got changed. You know, Geno Smith, I think, had 3 yards taken or got 3 yards given to him. DJ Moore lost a tackle. And this is the IDP league, so he lost like a point. And then that was another player or something like that, like either gained or lost something. Like it basically came out to I was supposed to lose 1 point. So I'm like, what the fuck? So I messaged Sleeper, emailed their service and their support, and I was like, this feels off. Like this is 12 points. And then I'll read the response that they gave me here. Pull up the league. Basically, he said, sorry for the confusion. The stat correction page only shows official league corrections that happen up until Thursday. Any adjustments our stat provider makes to match NFL stats won't show up in the stat corrections log since it's not an official league stat correction. That this means that the weekly report does not imply that matchups are final.
Which we knew because we knew that the weekly report comes out on Tuesday and stat corrections normally don't hit till Wednesday or Thursday. So we knew that part.
But what's insane to me is that this happened nowhere. Like I have 15 sleeper leagues. Your boy supports Sleeper. And this has nothing to do with Sleeper itself. It's just I have a lot of the similar players in these leagues. You know, a lot of my leagues are dynasty, and I checked Twitter to see maybe someone else mentioned. This is the only thing I've seen. No one mentioned this. This has happened in none of my other leagues that I'm in. And it went from me winning by 12 points to a flat tie, which is fucking nuts to begin with. But
yeah, especially in IDP for you to be anywhere near a flat tie.
I don't know. Honestly, it feels insane that your stat provider for this one league was off by fucking 11 points.
That's a lot of points to be off. Like I could see like a half point, 1 point at max, but it's like being off by 12 points.
And me losing a point, I mean,
with IDP, it does happen a bit more. Solo tackles become assisted tackles. Again, that's not, you know, sacks become assisted sacks. Again, that's not super uncommon in IDP, but 12 points.
I'm looking.
That's nuts. I feel like I'm going to wake up tomorrow and check it, and it's going to like
be fixed. You
know, correct itself. Because like, what player would have gotten that much of a boost? And I feel like that would have happened unless like a touchdown got doubled twice. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me at all. I don't know.
Yeah, because you were at 220. You were the high scorer.
Yep.
Most efficient manager.
And I tried to click to see if I could see my roster for that week without going into my roster tab. Because the roster tab is going to show up as I mean, corrected and same. I added up all the points to make sure it was right on that end, but.
I have no way of seeing like,
yeah,
if it like I can't even go compare with my other IDP league because I can't see what players were docked, right? So you don't really have like a points history there or whatever to show that, you know, CJ Mosley had this and then it was corrected to this or whatever.
Yeah. Because, I don't know. I just said thank you for the, you know, for the follow up. I mean, it's not really nothing they can do on their end. I'm like, it just doesn't. I've never seen this much of a difference. That is to me, it's that fucking nuts.
Adjustment, yeah. And how was their stat provider that almost like you said something got doubled somewhere?
It's just crazy to me.
Yeah, what was the big change if it wasn't an NFL stat correction?
Yeah,
but. Mistakes happen, I guess.
Yeah, right.
And I guess it just depends on who's feeding them their stats. Because I probably can see this because the weekly. I bet I can see this. Hold on. I'm going to investigate this right here, live, on air. Makes for great
Let's
radio.
Let's go.
Makes for great radio because I can see
great.
This. So
great
you
for
had,
your morning drive in.
So you were 220.65, which shows in the weekly report.
Yeah.
Well, no, the team performance is adjusted now.
You as a top scorer at 220 and shows everybody else's scores, right?
Yep.
So I wonder if I go to Jim Bob's.
Jim Bob's. What a freaking lineup we have in that league.
Well, it's only an 8-team league, though, so it should be easy for me to pinpoint. 457. So Brent lost 3 points somewhere in Jim Bob's. It's pretty standard, though.
Yeah.
You were 314 in that league. 313. So you had a point go somewhere. Brent, you... Cap was at 372, lowest points of he stayed. Minor, so Ryan, you were at 395, you stayed. Brent, 457, he dropped to 454, so again, he lost 3 points. I was at 399, ended at 399. I lost like an eighth of a point or something like that. Mark was at 433. He ended at 4. I don't know what his name is. I'm assuming he's the one that ended at 431. Yeah, gotta be. Yeah. So, I mean, there were 2, 3, 4 points here and there. So, I'm not going to look into scoring differences or anything like that. So, maybe, but it's something to be aware of. With Sleeper that, you know, and maybe with ESPN and the others too, I'm assuming they all kind of follow the same type of strategy. The platforms are probably being fed by similar stats providers on the back end. So just something to be aware of, pay attention to.
Yeah. I've been on the, you know, fortunate event of winning probably more games than I've lost due to stat corrections. I just have never seen a provider be that off, right? It's the first time I've ever heard of a provider being this off, more so than a stat correction, which you can generally find most platforms will list off the stat corrections, which is what you'll know about. It's just insane to me that it was on their back end. And yeah. And this is by no means calling out Sleep or nothing. It's just fucking wild to me. 12 points and it turned into a tie. It feels like it was changed on purpose, but it's just nuts to me. I posted on Twitter for those that want to look at it.
And then I have that half, now that they get half points, so now you're like, are you in or are you out of the playoffs?
We'll see. I bought into this team. This is the league that I made that wild trade for Hurts and Jefferson. I lost, you know, Jeddah to the IR and A. Rich was involved. Interception. Pick six. Not fun for the over. God, maybe pick six.
Speaking of a good league, though, what about Kickers Matter?
Yeah, Ryan,
got two 6-0 teams going at it right now.
Yeah.
Pick six.
Who picked six?
Jacksonville. Fuck.
Damn it. We got a game.
23-9.
I should have picked up Jacksonville. I came so close to picking up Jacksonville.
Sorry.
DSC.
They pick six car. Is it time for Jameis yet?
Needs to be. I'm going to see if he stepped out. I'm hoping he did. I took the under in this, man.
Yeah.
Defensive touchdowns are like the fucking worst for those.
All right. I'm going to keep this moving. Trade etiquette.
We'll talk about this for a second. There was a little bit of blow up in another league that Dan and I are both in over some trade etiquette type stuff. And I will...
I don't know if I want to read it verbatim, but I'll paraphrase it. So
let's hear it.
The end result was so somebody said, I love the teams that don't want to trade. Look where you're at in the standings. Probably time to make a move. Can't even get a response from some people. One of the things I don't like about this league is not getting a response. So there's one thing we need to talk about is responses. And responsiveness in leagues. Yeah. Another guy fired back. You can always leave. We all think differently. Trade doesn't always work with the other person wants. If a BS trade is constantly sent to people to the point that it's laughable to even consider it. There's another response which basically called out a trade that was considered laughable that was rejected. There was a response to it. And I agree. It was not a solid offer,
you know?
Yeah.
It happens.
Ryan, just so you know, that offer was Flowers and Younghoe Koo for Amon-Ra and Jake Elliott. So it's a thing. It wasn't a good offer. Dude fires back. Every trade I send out is based on trade value chart, which sounds like for him, it's a personal value chart. You know, whatever. A lot of back and forth there. So first off, let's talk responsiveness in trades. So you should always have the courtesy to respond to a trade offer. That doesn't mean you have to message somebody, but you should always have the courtesy to at least hit the decline button. Even if you think it's BS, you should have the courtesy to hit the decline button or hit the accept button, right? Don't just let them sit there when you see them. If you need to think on it, you need to think on it. But you should have the courtesy to respond to trades, first and foremost. You can, at that point, make the decision. If it was laughable and not even close or something you're completely not interested in, leave it alone. A rejection is a response, in my opinion, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
If it's something you were interested in, but the value's not right, you can counteroffer. You can message the person and say, hey, this actually happened to me this week, and say, hey, I'm interested in this player. I just didn't want to give up that much, or the value wasn't quite right, or what you were offering. I've said this from before, what you were offering in return doesn't really fit my roster structure, or the areas that I need to improve. State the problem. Maybe you can work through it and get something to work, but you should be responding to trades. That's how I play it.
Yep.
Any differences from you guys? Probably not.
No, no. Like when people offer me shitty trades, it's either I look at it and I just laugh, and then I just say, and then they go, "What do you think about that trade?" I go, "Dude, come on."
Yeah, it's like
sometimes I won't reject it. I won't do anything. I'll just let it sit there on that purpose because I know they're gonna send me a personal message because most of the time, these leagues that I'm in are with buddies of mine. But if it's someone I don't know, I'll instantly just reject it. And they're like, counter. I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that bothers me the most. And you see it a lot in redraft because Dynasty, typically, if you're playing Dynasty, you have an idea of how this all works. Is that they think that you should always counter. I'll look at your team. Most times I do. There are times I will forget. I have a lot of leaks. I'm on my phone a lot, but I get a lot of messages for a lot of things. And sometimes it just makes it past me and I will apologize to people if I'm not prompt. In season, you should always be prompt with it because of the day to day.
It moves quick.
That can change, you know, with injuries from practice and games and stuff.
A sleeper did something cool with the exploding trade offers.
Yeah, always cancel your trade offers before any kickoffs. That always cancel your trade offers before kickoff, just in case some asshole wants to accept a trade where the players involved gets hurt and they get on the good stick. But to go back to the counter thing, it's you don't have to counter.
No.
You don't. Nope. Just like I told people, say there are times where I feel like your trade is either so outlandish, or I look at your team and I just don't want anybody.
Don't want anybody, or it's a player exactly. I don't want to move.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't owe you a fucking explanation. I don't like if I give you one, you're lucky.
If you want to ask, I'm happy to explain my position. Yeah. I'm a little different on that. If I do not feel I am obligated to give you one out of the gate. If you want to ask me. Or message me and say, hey, I thought it was a good offer, or why didn't that work for you? I'll explain exactly why I didn't think it was a good offer, or why it didn't work for me, or why I didn't want to make the move.
Exactly. Like, that's my favorite thing to do is people are like, you know, well, what's your counter? I'm like, well, my counter is everyone on my team's available. Well, what do you want on my team? I go, nothing. So that's why I didn't counter.
There's also that people that want to make trades that don't want to do the work to make a trade.
Yeah.
By one of my biggest pet peeves. If you want to trade, send me a fucking offer. I am done with the days of we'll start a conversation. No, just send me a fucking offer.
Send me an offer. We'll work it from there.
Exactly.
We'll start from there. I don't need a sappy story or some reason. Just send me a fucking trade. This is what I want. This is why. Like, just send me the fucking trade and we'll start from there.
Yeah. Or just ask, do you have any interest? I got one of these today. Are you interested? We're in leagues together, so I'm not gonna disclose. Yeah, but are you interested in moving players X, Y, and Z? I'm rebuilding in this league, and they just said, I understand if they're young. I really don't want to give this up, but if you're interested in moving any of them, you know, we can talk for really anything else. And turns out, you know, yeah, there's some interest, and you know, so now I know that that person's interested, and if I want to come together on a deal, I know what's available, and that's perfectly fine. You know, I just responded and said, I'll take a look. I'm not necessarily married to player Y and Z, but I'd like to keep player X around. So let's see what we can do.
Yeah. And there,
and that's fine.
Most times in that case, I will say I am every player is available for an offer. Just send me a trade. I get wanting to ask people or say, hey, is this player available? Just send an offer.
Yeah.
Because you're basically fishing for me to offer a player because you're either you're unsure of or you're afraid to send an offer. And there's so much resources.
The worst
out
that
there
can happen is it gets declined. So offer what you want and then go from
just
there.
Offer a trade. If it's wild and off, I will not be rude at all when I talk to people. I will be blunt and honest with them about it.
I'm not going to call you an idiot or tell you you're a moron for that or what the hell are you thinking.
I am beyond that bullshit. We are all.
Yeah.
I don't need to be rude.
Yeah. I've just flat out told people like, hey, that doesn't improve me in any way. Like, I'm not trying to be rude, but that doesn't help my team at all.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do something that just helps your team.
Yeah.
Right. So, and like last year, Hopper, like you and I had like a 32 second trade of like Devin Singletary where like I wanted a first from you. You declined. So I'm like, all right, I offered a second and you accepted. I'm like, okay, so I know what, like, what I do those type of trades. I try to get more than I can than what I should. Yeah. And I offer, my counter is, all right, my next level is, this is where I'm going to go down to. Like, I have 2 to 3 to sometimes 4 levels of that trade I'm willing to do before I say, nope, all right, now you're wanting too much to get that player off me.
You never start with your, I go super strong offer. You have to start strong.
Start with
it's
your best offer.
It's not a dick move. It's just,
this is where we're starting. And if you,
it's competitive. We're trying to win. In Dynasty, when there's rebuilds involved, it makes it even more.
I just did this in the listener league. I threw out my best offer, and the response I got was not willing to give up that much, but I am interested.
You and I made a trade.
We just
didn't
this.
Talk about.
Yeah.
It was last week, but we made a trade.
We've done that a lot. I do it with Ian all the time, too. This gets me to another thing, though. The other thing that was griped is you just want to trade with people that you're friends with. Well, naturally, you're going to be drawn to the people that you're more comfortable with, that you can converse with, that you trust, aren't going to try to take you for a ride or anything like that. Hell, you see that in the NFL. That's why teams that have connections to other teams, you see it in the MLB all the time, too. The same teams partnering up on trades and to make deals because there's familiarity there with the people involved and familiarity with the negotiations, familiarity with, you know, the fact and that's there and there's trust. You should not negotiate. I mean, you shouldn't not negotiate with somebody just because you don't like them. But if you're approaching somebody to make trades, I'm not going to lie. I'll look at your roster first, Dan, before I look anywhere else and see where you're at. I'll look at Ian's roster before I, you know, we'll go elsewhere, and I'll kind of go down the line of, you know, am I comfortable enough with, you know, or who am I more comfortable with, and does this make sense for them? And then we'll start there, and then I'll move down. I will prefer people that I'm more comfortable with for no other reason than I'm comfortable with them. I'm comfortable with the dialogue, and I'm comfortable that I can make something work. And that's totally fine. There's not anything shady or problematic about that, because if you wanted it bad enough, you could make me the offer. You don't get to dictate who I decide I want to send offers to, as long as it's fair value, you know.
And that's what people think, like, oh my god, you're wanting way too much. Like, well, you know, what I want and what you are willing to give are two totally different things. Like, sometimes, you know, if you want that player, you have to overpay for them just because they're that good. You know, it's like, what are you willing to pay for if it's one of the elite tier players? That's how you got to look at it as.
Yeah.
Like right now, like I look at like Jahmyr Gibbs as like one of the perks I like to buy, because I feel like, you know, he could explode, but then it could also bite me in the face. And like, people are like, you know, well, no, I want this and that. I'm like, well, he hasn't done anything. Yeah, but he could. I'm like, yeah, he could, but he hasn't done anything. So this is my offer.
Yep.
But he could. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't got a lot else to add there, really. So not a lot of stats in this Thursday night game, by the way.
It's 24-9. It's a lot of fun.
Pick six really throws some things off. Anyway.
Yeah.
The only other thing I'll say on trade etiquette is, if your defense for something is the trade calculator said, miss me with that shit. Miss everybody with that shit. The trade calculator says this is a good deal. Trade calculators are fundamentally flawed. You two want to go ahead and go into why?
I like to use them to build trades. I know how to value players. I've been doing this for a long time. A lot of leagues are getting a little bit different out there. You know, a lot more scoring and stuff like that to get more balance to the league. I like to use calculators to help build the trade or to help see where the trade's at in my mind. I'll always have an idea of where a trade's at initially. I like to use calculators to help find a way to bridge gaps. Am I overcorrected or undercorrected? But I also use one that I trust, one that I know is more in line with how I view and how they build it, because I've been using them since their inception of using it. And it's a trust thing. But If your only excuse to why you send a trade out is based off a calculator, that's where you're absolutely wrong. It's a good tool to use to build and to see value, but it's not a set all be all. You just have to get it. You just have to get away from this idea that it's trade out calculators are the only thing that's valued properly, because you can't, especially in Dynasty.
And you hit the nail on the head on that one, because Dynasty leagues are going to be, any way people view it, it's a good, I use multiple ones. I'll kind of look at it as a reference to that, because you know these other people are going to be looking at it, because they go, there's so many calculators out there. It's there. So it's like, okay, so, you know, they're going to look at it. It could be KTC. It could be anything else you use out there. So I kind of use those as a reference to be like, well, you know, if you look at the calculators, they're fine. It depends like who you're going against. Like, using against us, I don't use really calculators, because I know you two and I know what you kind of like. So you, if you know what the manager that you're going up against wants, or like, you know, how they like to trade, you can kind of piece it together that way and say like, hey,
yeah.
I know that, yeah, I'm gonna have to overpay, but it's only this much more. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or you can say like, hey, I know this guy reads this like KTC, like a fucking Bible. I can give him this, and I know I can get that player off him.
That's
no problem.
That's perfect.
You know?
I would tell, do not use KTC. For the love of God, stop using KTC.
KTC right now has...
It's all reactionary from the community.
I don't use ESPN's built-in one either. For the love,
that one's fucking dog shit. Like, oh my God, is that bad.
That one's trash.
Did you see the new KTC one?
No.
So it's T. Higgins straight up for Nico Collins right now.
Oh God.
One for one deal. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, I will send that all day long. Here's Nico Collins. Give me.
I mean, I'm excited about Collins, but
so
I need to see a little bit more. Yeah.
The way Dan uses them though is how you should use them. It's not the be all end all. You can use them to start and make sure in a vacuum your value is right. But that's basically how they're flawed. Is everything is in a vacuum. It doesn't, outside of standard league settings, it doesn't take into account, you know, any unique roster configurations or depth of rosters for the most part, or anything like that. It doesn't take into account, you know, how rookie drafts work, how scoring might be done different in some unique ways. It doesn't take into account roster construction, right? If I really, really need a wide receiver, but you're offering me running backs that are equal to my running backs that I'm trading away in value, you're not helping my team. I'm just moving laterally, right? And it's not. And this is what there's one guy I have this conversation with at least a couple times a year, which is, yeah, there is nothing wrong with the value of your trade. It just doesn't fit what I need. Value player for player in a vacuum, it's pretty even.
Yeah.
But it's not, structure wise, it doesn't help me any, because I'm just moving laterally at this position without getting better at this one. And, you know, when really I can afford to get a little bit worse here because I need to get better here. And it doesn't take that into account. That's the other way in which they're flawed. That's why, you're an idiot for rejecting this. The trade calculator said it was good. Doesn't hold any water. Yeah. Like,
now, the one I use has their, like, they'll adjust the algorithm that they're being used,
I mean,
to calculate value.
Are you going to just keep saying the one that you use, or are you going to shout it out so that our 35 listeners?
No, I don't want other people to use it. No, so it's the Dynasty Dominator app by Player Profiler.
There you go.
Absolutely worth the money spent, like $10. And they've updated, I think it was 5 or 10, I don't remember, but either way, they go into it a bunch to, you know, to help be as, I won't say accurate, but to help give you the best idea of what you should be doing. They have three settings outside of doing the separate league settings and some scoring, because you can't get too crazy with it. Does not have any IDP, you know, functionality, but IDP is very far behind in that part. Not their fault, just how the community is. But they'll have options to set to how they want to do their algorithm based on their calculations to win now, neutral, and rebuild. Yeah. I actually don't know the breakdowns, but they'll value picks or players higher in that regard to help build trades out that make sense. And they worked out ways to where it starts to devalue one of the more common things you see newer players that use trade calculators for, and that's bunching a bunch of players to equal value to one good player, right? It's the shit pool for one good player. It's a very common move you see in redraft.
Yeah, it's not a good one either.
Yeah, in this league, it values gaining bench spots because that'll allow you to add more players and give your team more
sort of top end talent.
Yes, it starts to devalue when those clump deals. So get theirs. One of my favorite apps to use, and that's the only app I use to help build trades. I'm hoping at some point they introduce RDP, but that's one of the first fundamental things I changed. Now, with them, they also like to be aggressively ahead on players, both good or bad. Mm-hmm. So values can fluctuate, but it's still one of the better apps, and I would highly recommend using it.
Sure.
Touchdown. Oh, wow. Didn't get it.
Damn it.
Fourth and goal. Three straight runs, nothing.
They're going for it.
Yep. Well, they have to. You know, fourth quarter, down 15.
Yep. So injuries. I want to talk injury strategy just for a minute because, you know, yeah. This is the first week that's come up where there's a lot of buys and you got key players that are pretty iffy playing in primetime slots. So gets a little difficult when you're in that scenario. It's a little bit of a gamble. Couple things to note. Know your practice statuses, right? If a guy is not practicing at all, odds of him playing very, very slim. Practicing in a limited flat fashion through the end of the week, you're probably in a true game time decision scenario. Full practices, you're almost guaranteed to be good. That's piece of advice one. Piece of advice two, put them in your flex. We talk about not having Thursday night players in your flex for obvious reasons, but in this scenario, put the latest player you have in your flex spot.
Taysom Hill.
Yeah,
Taysom Hill. If they're, this is how much I don't care. I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah. No, you should.
Sorry.
If you have a questionable player playing on Sunday night and you have players on Monday night, okay, don't put the Monday night player in there. Put the injured bright and time guy that's questionable in your flex spot so that you have maximum flexibility of what to do with that. That way you're not position locked. The third piece of advice, have a contingency plan. You're not almost guaranteed, unless they're already on your roster and you happen to have a good matchup, you are not going to have a like-for-like replacement. If you didn't get the cuff in waivers or whatever, you're not going to be able to just do an immediate one-for-one plug-in. You're going to have to get a little cute here and get somebody that might not, you know, somebody that has a chance of putting up points, even if it's not the same level, just so you don't take the zero should that player not play. And that's what you're weighing, right? How much benefit? So with Christian McCaffrey, right? I am 100% without a doubt on Thursday right now planning on riding out Christian McCaffrey to Sunday night, right?
Yep.
I don't have a good option on the bench. I don't have anybody I'm comfortable playing over him. It's hard production to replace. I'm going to ride that out as long as I can to see what happens. We're going to watch the next couple of days. We'll go from there. I picked up Brandon Powell off waivers. Is my emergency fill-in should I need it on Monday night.
Smart.
You have to. I mean, you got to live that life on the edge on that one.
Yeah, yep. He's not going to have a big game necessarily, but he does have the potential to break something, maybe pick up a touchdown, give you a couple points, not necessarily a zero. And the last thing you want to do there is take the zero, right? Now, if I'm in a situation I'm projected to win, I've got a good game going from ETN right now, who's my other back. That's a situation where I can afford to wait. If I'm in a situation where I'm projected to lose and I absolutely can't afford a lower score in that spot, then yeah, I might be looking to plug somebody in that gives me a little bit higher of a floor and just risk having to not having the spot to play McCaffrey. You have to make that decision. That is the gamble piece, but put them in your flex, have a contingency plan. Could be a backup tight end, just somebody that is going to give you greater than zero. That's all I got on that.
I mean, that's not much more to be said.
Yeah,
honestly, it's
hit the nail on the head on that one.
Yeah, it's
how you do it. That's how you have to do it right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Quick preview. You've got six teams on bye. This is tied for the largest bye week with week 13. Carolina, Cincinnati, Dallas, Houston, the Jets, and the Titans are all on bye this week. Yep. Six teams. So Bi-Apocalypse week one, the other one's week 13. You got a couple of 4-team buys in between and a couple of 2-1 team buys and all sorts of stuff in the middle. By the way, double check your league settings. I had a league that had to change the playoff format this week because they forgot to change it off of week 14. Week 14 still has bye weeks. Don't do your playoffs when there's still bye weeks.
Yes.
Didn't change the number of teams that make it or anything like that. I just slid the dates, but so yeah, that's your bye week. Streamers this week, one of you guys want to start or do I need to?
I can go first.
Go ahead, Ryan.
I mean, I don't know if you guys noticed, like, this week's games are kind of ugly. Like, the only one I see is, like, over-under is Philadelphia-Miami at 51.5, and everything under that is under 50 points. But I like the way the Cleveland Browns are playing right now. I'm going with Kareem Hunt. He had 16 total touches last week. I still see him taking a chunk out of this offense with Jerome Ford. I can see it be more of a 50-50 split as it starts transitioning more to Kareem Hunt. He is one of my sleepers I like a lot this week, especially as a flex play.
Kareem Hunt's banged up.
Hunt is hurt. Yep. So be mindful. There are apparently Jerome Ford is slowly running back practicing with the ones.
Right now. Hunt's been banged up and playing through stuff, but keep an eye on that.
Yep.
Yeah, he came back limited today. He missed yesterday, but came back limited today, so I'm not worried about him.
Yep, just watch for any setbacks.
Ryan's not worried about him.
Cool. I like it, especially against Indy with Watson being banged up. Dan?
We talked about it, but mine was Zach Evans. I think, you know, plus matchup against Pittsburgh, you know, bottom 12 defense against the run, this year so far, an offense that is starting to click more and more. The addition of Cooper Kupp's only going to help the offense, as we've seen the last couple of weeks. Again, running back by apocalypse injuries. It's works hand in hand. Find a team as a starter and pray and hope effectively.
It's not good. It's not good in fantasy football.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Tyson Bagent. He's got a softer defensive matchup against the Raiders. He does some things that Justin Fields doesn't, though, that I think actually play well in the Bears offense. And that's it'll depend on how well he knows this offense, but on his college tape, he actually did throw the anticipation, good timing on routes, and was good against zone coverage. The accuracy is pretty solid. Especially short and intermediate. He's got a quick release. Bears offensive line still tied, just like last year. They're tied for first in pocket time, or Fields is tied for first in pocket time, which is credit to the offensive line. But Bagent didn't have the same issues processing that Fields does. He also does still have some of that ability to extend plays. Now, he's not Fields athletic. Very few are. But he does have the ability to extend plays and move a bit. So his Senior Bowl was really, really good. Again, we're saying all this stuff about a UDFA that's starting his first game, but he shines on short to intermediate timing routes, which is also kind of a DJ Moore specialty, is better the at game. Good against zone. I think against the Raiders, like if you're looking for a streaming quarterback this week with a bunch of people on bye, Bagent was still available some places for me, even in Superflex at the end of the week.
And that would be where I'd lean him.
Pick up as an emergency start. Yeah.
You know, desperate needs super flex. I think the one thing that's going to hold him back is not even him. It's the, again, three play calls that are the same in a row. Three wide receiver screens. back to back to back on different sides of the field, or you know, the different side. It's that's not his fault. And this is multiple times that Chicago's done this. I watched this and I'm like, did they really just run three wide receiver fucking screens in a row?
Yeah, they did.
Just alternate right, left, right. Like, what the fuck?
And it didn't work.
What the actual fuck?
And they're going to have to take the training wheels off of them, right? Like, what do you, are you afraid of losing? Because playing not to lose never wins anywhere in the NFL. Like, let them play.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's Hopper. You mentioned it's a decent matchup. You know, low scoring games, you can't expect much for fireworks, but there's ever a time for a rookie quarterback to just come out and YOLO. I mean, people got paid on it in Brock Purdy. You see it in random cases. It's
we saw it with Zappy. What was it? Last year.
For a couple games.
Like the NFL will adjust eventually, but those couple games, Zappy was viable. So
deep shot. And nothing.
Of course not.
No. Derek Carr. It's bad. He's all fired up. Real bad. You're running the wrong route. I threw the ball outside him. Like he's yelling at Chris Olave. He's so pissed off.
Don't just throw that at Taysom Hill. That's all I need. Just keep giving the ball to him.
Olave.
Stop.
I need more Olave.
Stop.
Me?
Taysom Hill.
Oh.
I think he's mad that Olave ran the wrong route or someone's not in the right quadrant. Yeah, Carr is fucking pissed.
Or he just made a bad throw.
It was a bad throw regardless.
It's a bad throw regardless. But if he's that pissed off,
he's like, what are you?
Where are you going?
Where are you going? What are you doing? I just laughed. Yeah. It was perfect.
Like Ryan mentioned, looking at games this week, there are some ugly things. There are some juicy things. Chargers, Rams, most juicy match of the week, most likely. Rams got the Steelers. Eagles and Dolphins should be pretty good. 49ers against Minnesota. Minnesota, pretty poor defense, and Chicago versus Las Vegas, and vice versa for the fun factor. Get a couple backup quarterbacks letting things loose against a couple bad defenses. Games that avoid Lions, Ravens. That to me feels physical and low scoring.
It's gonna be a ground and pound game in my mind too. And I said the same thing. People are like, "Oh, Ravens, I gotta start Jared Goff." Oh yeah,
are 3-point favorites.
It's ground and pound game, dude. It's going to be like
Detroit has beaten their last, 3 or 4 opponents by double digits. And all Baltimore does is blow double digit point leads.
Right. And what Detroit does is it makes they zero can't fucking beat sense. Teams. The teams they should beat, they won't beat. And this is a team they should beat, and they're not going to.
Well, I mean, most of the teams they face, they beat that they should beat. They've played a soft schedule, but. They haven't played the hardest schedule either outside of Kansas City. Like either way, Baltimore is probably their second and third toughest matchup. And I'm
nervous
shocked
about this game.
Yeah. I would not be, which I'm gonna be wrong about because Baltimore's look bad. Lamar played his best game of the season, I think 2 weeks ago, and the wide receivers, you know, failed him completely. But it is
what it is.
Bet Detroit. What a throw and catch. Holy shit. That's Calvin really too.
Nice.
Finally.
Out of bounds? Yes. Out of bounds. We'll see. One-handed catch. Yeah, out of bounds. Being grabbed. Oh, wow. Not a catch. But
wow.
What a great not a catch.
God damn it. Can I finish the last 2 minutes of this podcast before we...
Yes. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
No.
Games.
Oh, my God. Sorry. Sorry, I'm done.
Fucking A, Dan.